to the Bumblecast. I am the Ian Flinity Stones, and joining me as always is my snappy co-host, Kyle Kranatos. That's the best I could come up with.
That's terrible, Ian.
I know.
Man,
I
you know. should snap that one out of existence.
I should.
Oh, boy. So, we've been through a major event, but how are you doing, Ian?
I'm doing fine and dandy, keeping busy as always, and stuff that I can't talk about, but, you know, that's how it goes. How about you?
Well, I did see that the Tangle and Whisper number 0 got released, so that's pretty cool. That's some news.
Yep. If you weren't able to find Tangle 0 at your comic store last week, this is the week of Free Comic Book Day, and I heard some retailers were holding on to their copies to release on Free Comic Book Day. So, check again this Wednesday when you go in for Free Comic Book Day. No, wait, is it the last Friday?
It's Saturday, isn't it?
Last Saturday. Okay, whenever you go to the comic shop this week, check and see. And even if they don't have it there, you can get it digitally for free from the IDW store.
Yep.
I know some folks day of were having a little bit of trouble with that too, and you basically have to treat it like you're actually purchasing something. It just doesn't cost anything.
Right.
So you have to, you know, fill in your shipping info, even though it's not being shipped to you. You don't have to put in any billing info, thankfully, but you do have to go through the whole checkout process to get your PDF file or whatever your e-reader is.
Yeah.
But it is for free. It is there. It's full of goodness. Go grab it.
I also checked Comixology because I was curious, and it is up there, but it's not released until the 1st, May 1st. So on Wednesday, weird, if you want it on Comixology, you can get it from there, and it should be free too. So it says you can pre-order it on Comixology. It's like, well, it's going to be free, so I don't know. Whatever. So, but if you want it from Comixology too, there you go. But IDW has it, and of course, check your local comic shops.
And if you're curious about when any of the Sonic books are coming out, because that schedule has been a little funky this past week, month or so, head over to BumbleKing.com, check out the Bumble calendar under the News and Info tab, and that's got everything up to date as far as I know.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So is there anything else we need to get to before we launch into this week's big, big, big news?
I guess we can just touch on the topic real quick, because we talked a bunch about Smash Brothers Ultimate as it was coming up.
Oh, yeah.
And the latest major patch came through. If you got Joker as one of the DLC characters, super cool, very robust character. I love all the love that they put into the stages. That was far more than I was anticipating that he would get. And the biggest addition being the stage builder returning with all sorts of new bells and whistles.
Yeah. And all sorts of naughty stage design.
Yeah, no, we don't need to go.
But also some very creative ones, like some of the Sonic-related ones that I saw you retweeting.
There's those
really cool ones.
One that we made a point of downloading very early on was somebody made Waluigi's pinball table.
Oh, really?
And
oh, that's awesome.
Like, it has bumpers that move back and forth. It actually spawns a cylinder because you can't make a ball.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it's, you know, a physics object that bounces around, and there's air jets that kind of push you along if you fall out of the table, and it spawns you into a series of cannons that launches you like a pinball back into the stage.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really nifty.
Yeah.
The other one we got, because it cracked us up so much, was the Oof Box.
What's that?
The Oof Box, I'm so glad you asked. The upper half is a fairly plain box with a number of cannons along the top. The bottom is a box that's comprised almost entirely of lava tiles that slides back and forth. So you're trying really hard to knock everybody into the Oof Box below. And as it moves back and forth, it exposes teleporters that basically force you out of the stage so that you're KO'd.
Really?
So if you try to survive, you're going to be bounced back into the stage, bouncing off the walls, into the cannons, firing back into the Oof Box, bouncing around some more, popping out, trying to hit somebody else. It's absolute chaos. Love it. Try to look up Oof Box.
May have to check that out. See, I have been, like, completely, like, I don't know. I stopped playing Smash Brothers just like entirely for some reason. Not for any reason other than I just haven't, like, I don't know, played video games for a little while. And for no reason. It's just like, well, now I'm doing other things, I guess. No, not really, but still am. But I don't know. I should hop back into it, though. It looks like there's been a lot going on since I last played. I haven't even played with Piranha Plant yet.
I'm not as fond of Piranha Plant as I thought I would be. I thought he'd be a fun, you know, griefer character, but I just cannot get a handle on his moveset.
Yeah. So I don't think I would main him at all or anything, but it'll be fun to toy around with, play around, see what happens.
All right, that's enough of that. Are we going to move on to the main topic?
Yep, I think we're officially ready to get into the big one.
And that is Avengers Endgame, big old movie review from the Bumblecast. Same as always, we're going to go non-spoiler at first. We'll give you fair warning before we start geeking out in spoiler territory. And if you don't want spoilers, just jump ahead to the Q&A. The link is down in the description.
Yep. Oh, boy.
I think the word for me to describe this film is cathartic.
Yeah, that's a good one. The other word for me, and I know I'm going to give myself more work for this. I'm going to have to go through and find a sound effect to censor myself. But I think the phrase for me is, holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
That Endgame, though. It's hard to not spoil it, too.
Because it's not just the sequel to Infinity War. It's a culmination of the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe up to this point.
Right.
Like, between Easter eggs and callbacks and cameos, it's one gigantic summation of everything they've built to this point. And it really does feel like it's not just lip service. It feels like it was all coming to this point. And it almost feels like whatever comes after has to kind of start anew.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the next one in the works is the next Spider-Man film. And even though that's continuing from Homecoming, it almost feels like, okay, here we are back at phase one. Where do you go from here?
Right. Yeah, it's very much just, it's a movie, first of all, it's like chock full of freaking fan service, which is perfectly fine. I mean,
yeah.
that's really part of the whole thing. So if you're like not into the Marvel movies, this is not the movie to go see to try and sway you away from, or sway you back into watching them, because now it's a little too late. Now, if you didn't like the previous ones, don't bother.
This is absolutely for fans of the series.
Yeah, and for people who've been following these movies since Iron Man 2008. So
now, without getting too fine a point on it, because again, no spoilers.
Right.
And this is just off of one viewing, so this is not the most concrete basis to be preaching from. But number one, not overly fond of where they've taken Thor up through this point, and we can discuss that more in a minute.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's necessarily bad, but I have gripes. And number two, I'm thinking Infinity War might be the better structured film of the two.
Mm-hmm.
But because of Infinity War, Endgame is possible. Like, I don't think you can really approach Endgame as a film traditionally, because it is not a standalone film. It is not even a sequel. It's the sequel to the entire 10 years of movie.
Well, it is a part two, technically.
Technically,
it was announced as part two.
I feel like it's even more than that.
Yeah.
So it may not be fair to judge it as your regular just go to the theater and watch a film. This is the bookend for so much that it's big.
I personally feel like it suffers from some pacing issues, especially in Act Two. It seems to drag a little bit. Which, I mean, and I like spending time with these characters, and I don't mind, you know, them just kind of talking rather than anything going on. I'm not complaining about more character interaction versus, you know, more just big action spectacle.
Sure.
But at the same time, I'm just like, this is, seems a little plodding in the middle. It's kind of like, I don't know, just kind of, there are moments of, you know, where things get exciting again, and then it really just kind of slows down, and then, I don't know, the pacing felt a little off to me. I don't know if they could have necessarily cut anything out, but if there was a way to kind of rearrange things to pace it better, I don't know. It's tough to say, because there's really a lot of meat in this movie that you couldn't just cut out, and I have to imagine that they cut out quite a bit, even though it is a 3-hour movie.
Yeah.
So it's
now here. It's tough. Here's the crucial question, Kyle.
Yes.
Did you make it through the whole film, or did you have to take a potty break?
No, I made it.
Good for you.
Did you?
Barely.
No, actually, I was fine. Yeah, I was a little surprised, but at the same time, I've sat through 2.5-hour movies. An extra 30 minutes really isn't a big.
It's not a. It doesn't a. Like you said, it does have some pacing issues where it seems to kind of drag here and there, but it was not a endurance 3 hours. That was a very fast.
No, 3 hours. It was actually kind of surprising how I was like, oh, okay, we're coming up to the end already. You can kind of tell. Mm-hmm. It does suffer a little bit from Return of the King syndrome, where it goes through several different endings for several different characters, but that's okay. It's not as overt as Return of the King was. It's not as hard. It's not as hard to sit through, I would say. But it's a good
thing. I would say
it is a good
call was a little better. Yeah,
it is a good thing to wrap up the stories of the main characters. So the characters that we've been following for all these years. So I'm found it pretty satisfying, quite satisfying actually.
Oh yeah.
There were a couple of things that disappointed me, and I think you've touched on one of them, but we will touch on more of them as we get into spoilers, I'm sure. But mm-hmm. Overall, I would say that if you've been following this series and want to see how they get out of the pickle that Thanos has put them in, pickles, then you probably need to see this movie.
I before we get into spoilers, I will say there were tears on my end.
I didn't get tears, but I definitely was feeling a little bit like this.
And I may have startled some people in the theater because there's one key moment where it's like, oh, are they going to do it? Are they going to do it? Do it. Do it. You got to do it. They did it. Yes. Clapping and cheering in the theater. And everyone else was kind of enthralled. So I think I was the jerk, but I don't care. Holy moly, Kyle. Okay.
I had several fist pump moments, especially during the final battle. It was like, yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah. I think we've danced on this razor's edge long enough.
Yes.
If you've been dodging spoilers for how this whole weekend, here's your last chance to get out, because we're diving right into this mess.
Get out, get out, get out!
So we'll see you at the Q&A. If y'all are in chat and you haven't seen it yet, we'll come in and let you know when you can come back into the live recording. But we're going full spoilers in 3, 2, 1. Capping the hammer, man! Cap and the freaking hammer! It flies off to the side and the camera dwells on it and it's like, oh? Mm-hmm. And Thor's pinned to the rock, but the hammer's waiting. It's like, yeah, do it. You promised this back in Avengers 2. Do it, do it, do it, do it. Oh, and they did it. Oh, that whole sequence. Oh, my God.
You have no idea. That was like the fist pump moment for me. I was like, yes, he's got it. Boom! Right in Thanos' jaw with that. Holy crap, dude. That shot is beautiful.
Oh, I love
it. Amazing.
That moment. That's so, worth taking for us alone.
It's so it was so satisfying for him to just be like, boom! With that.
Oh,
hammer.
My God.
Whew. So great.
I mean, I was just hyped for Thor having both Stormbreaker and Mjolnir. That was cool by itself.
Yeah.
And then, ugh. Good stuff. Whew. Good stuff.
Yep. Another fist shake moment for me was Rescue showing up. Pepper Potts' rescue. It's like, yeah, finally.
Did not see that coming.
No?
No, I did not see that coming.
I kind of had an inkling we were going there because of the teaser earlier on in the movie. This has got to happen. I did see some like behind the scenes shots that may have also somewhat confirmed rescue, and I'm like, okay, fingers crossed. Here's hoping that's real and that's what's going to happen. And I'm like, come on, they got to do it. I'm like, yes, good, we got now, rescue.
Truth be told. I was so into the moment that I completely forgot they undid the snap. The shield is broken. Everyone's beaten. You can't do the time reverse again. What are you going to do? How are they getting out of this? And then Sam comes through. I'm like, wait, that's right. Sam's back. They undid the snap. And all the portals open. It's like, oh, son, here they come. I completely forgot that there was this entire other multiverse cast to pull from, and then the whole big battle's happening and it's amazing. And then the ship starts shooting into the sky, and I'm like, well, who? Nova Corps is gone. Who?
Yep.
Who's in the Ravagers? Yep. The other Guardians? Oh, right, there's Captain Marvel in this franchise. Yeah. Boom!
I'm like, yeah, that was another moment where I'm like, yeah, Carol! Boom! Right through the ship. Yes!
And we didn't get as much Carol versus Thanos as I was anticipating. What we got was kind of distilled to his essence.
Yes, yes.
The fact that he headbutts her and she doesn't break eye contact was kind of just oof.
Yeah.
But he has to pull off which one was the purple stone? The power stone?
Whichever one that is.
The big zappy stone.
Yeah.
And just point blank zaps her with that. It's like, woo! Catharsis, Kyle. The whole movie is catharsis.
But all the ladies forming up behind Carol, too, was so badass. Holy shit. That was like, yes, 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 yes. So many good moments in that fight, too. You know, playing football with the gauntlet.
Yeah.
It's like, what is going on
here? I've heard Howard the Duck is in there somewhere.
I would believe it.
I have to go back and watch it again to see if I can find Howard.
I was hoping we'd get like maybe quick shots of portals opening and having the TV cast pop out, but unfortunately, yeah. I don't think that ever happened. I didn't see them, and I'm very sad about that because I would love to have been like, okay, well, everyone's back now. Wong went and got like every superhero and army that he could get a hold of. It's like, well, he lives in New York with Doctor Strange. Wouldn't he know that there are other heroes operating in New York that they could have pulled?
Yeah.
Who would have been really helpful in a fight, whether maybe not directly against Thanos, but you know, you need the army. You need who you can get. And it would be nice to have like a reference to, you know, the Defenders, or even have like the TV cast of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Just, you know, they don't have to say anything. He had cameos from all sorts of characters in this movie who never said a word. So it could have been done, but whatever. We did have one TV character show up, though.
Who was that?
And that would be Jarvis in the 70s.
Oh, in 1970. I didn't see he showed up Jarvis, in a flashback even.
Yeah, Jarvis. Well, no, I mean, no, it wasn't a flashback. Jarvis is in Agent Carter.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the same actor and everything.
Right. So, I thought it was just a callback to that, you know, Vision got in the movie for a half second.
Nuh-uh. It's a completely different character. So, but he was in...
different character, same actor.
No, this is a different actor.
Really?
It's a different actor from Vision, yes.
Huh.
Yeah, completely different.
Well.
So Vision's not in the movie, in case you're wondering. Nobody related to Vision.
He kind of is. He's attached to the gauntlet.
Well, okay, yes. But other than that. And then there's Peggy, Agent Carter,
right?
So I think both of them mainly show up in this movie because the movie was written by the writers of the Agent Carter series. So they kind of used this movie as a way to sort of wrap up a couple of loose ends from that series, which is actually kind of cool.
Okay,
so it's very small, and so but there was a lot of talk around the time Agent Carter was airing, there was a lot of talk about who who her husband was, because it's never revealed and it's never said. But with the ending of this movie, I think we know who it is.
Okay.
So, yeah, okay. It wrapped up some of the plot points of Agent Carter, which is kind of a nice way to sneak that in there. I appreciate that, because Agent Carter was fantastic.
Okay, so coming down from the high a little bit, let's talk about Thor.
Okay.
And I've seen some of this discussion elsewhere, and it kind of swayed me a bit. So the first Thor, not the best film, but still kind of fun.
It's enjoyable.
As long as you don't think too hard about it, it's a nice little introductory film. Nice balance of weird space sci-fi, magic, and comedy.
Yep.
And the whole thing is, you know, Thor's very high and mighty. He is brought down and learns humility and kind of accepts his role in a truly heroic fashion. Thor 2 was a mess, could not find its tone, and Thor is brought from on high to find humility, but comes around to accepting his role in a heroic fashion.
I barely remember Thor the Dark World, so I was honestly kind of surprised that they even decided to acknowledge it in Endgame like they did. I was like, oh, we're going back to the Dark World, huh? Okay. Yeah. Wow, this is kind of interesting. I'm surprised they would go there, but hey, whatever.
I think I understand why, but we'll get to that in a minute. Thor 3 was an absolute farce, intentionally so, very entertaining.
Yes.
But kind of just turned its nose up at the other two films entirely and just did its own thing,
which
for
is
better
fine.
Or worse.
Which is fine. I'm happy with that.
Where Thor is brought down from on high and given humility until he finds his purpose again in a heroic fashion. And here we are in Infinity War, where he is brought to his absolute lowest. The character has been fully assassinated at this point.
And then they do the same thing.
Barely any... he doesn't even really climb back to where he was.
No.
He's just kind of like the Big Lebowski, who's now part of the Guardians of the Galaxy, which it entices me to see what they do in Guardians 3, but it's like, I kind of liked where they had gone with Thor up through, I guess, Avengers 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then it felt like they just could not do anything with him aside from follow the same arc, but bringing him lower every time. I get the joke. You know, he's extremely hunky and powerful, and here he is in a pitiful state. Ha ha. But it's like, all right, now it doesn't seem like a joke anymore. It almost seems mean-spirited. And it's not that he had to get back the six-pack for the final battle. I appreciate the fact that, you know, he stayed kind of chonky. But at the same time, it's like, all right, what has this done for the character? You know, Tony got his heroic send-off. Steve got his happy ending. Thor is removed entirely from his people and his purpose and is now just kind of bumming it with the space goonies. It's, I don't know. It's not my favorite direction for the character.
I feel like maybe that like the writers and directors and everybody, like, they realized just how funny Chris Hemsworth was. So they started trying to play into that more than do more serious stuff with the character. I think they just would, I don't know for sure, but obviously, but it just seems like that's kind of what they're playing up as, is the fact that he's just really funny as Thor, but they're, you know, they're leaning hard into it. So, you know, on the one hand, I enjoy it because he's very funny and he's very entertaining and he's very good at it, but.
Absolutely.
But I do see what you mean. Like, well, can we get maybe a little bit more serious with Thor a little bit? Just a tiny bit?
If we're going to go a comedy route, can we not make it at the character's expense? Because it's not just him being funny. It's he is messed up.
True.
Like, the whole reason he's got that beer gut is he has given up on life.
Right.
And the reason why his and Rocket's plan kind of goes awry is because he completely shuts down with this prospect of the girl that has given up on him and losing his mother. It's not so much, ha-ha, look at Thor in this funny predicament. It's, ha-ha, let's laugh at this guy with PTSD who is literally barely keeping himself in one piece. And that's not as funny. I mean, he does a good job with it.
Right.
And I'm glad that they gave him a moment to reconcile with Sif. No, Frigga. Excuse me. Got my gods mixed up.
Yeah, unfortunately, Sif is not in this movie. Ah!
Yeah, that one was weird. Like, of all, they have everybody else. They have the freaking kid from Iron Man 3.
Yep.
But no Sif. Por qué?
Yeah, I don't know. She's just too busy with her TV series, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe. They got Natalie Portman back.
I know.
For AC.
For 2 seconds with no line. No.
And
lines.
Even if it was like reused footage, they have to buy the rights to it. She's got to get paid for her work. So
she was. Well, I mean, she was at the premiere. So.
Yeah. So I don't. It's just. I'm not saying that what they did with Thor was necessarily wrong, because I really did enjoy Ragnarok. It's just, I feel like it's a mean-spirited joke at this point.
Yeah. They're just kicking him further and further down, like you said. So
it's kind of like
I wonder if that's just the consequence of him being like a god and so powerful that they feel the need to continually knock him down just so he doesn't get so outrageously powerful that unstoppable. I don't know. It just seems like they're trying to go somewhere with him, but they weren't sure where to go, so they just keep doing the same.
I mean, I think it really clicked for me when they've got the Mecha Gauntlet and they're deciding who's going to do the snap, and Thor is begging to do it. And at first, I'm kind of laughing at it, like, haha, here's Thor, you know, trying to be the hero. And it's like, no, he's trying to make amends. He's desperately begging Tony for the opportunity to not do something wrong.
Right.
Please give me a chance to find self-worth. And it's like, ugh, that's not funny anymore. This is kind of sad. I'm feeling bad for you.
Yeah. Good news is, though, we got Professor Hulk, which was awesome.
We did!
Which was awesome.
I was wondering if they were going to go that route, given where we left off with Infinity War.
Yeah.
You know, not only is Hulk regressed, but you've got Banner confronting him aggressively, which is such a switch on their dynamic. It's like, okay, are they going to find that middle ground?
Yep.
And sure enough, we get Professor Hulk, and that was delightful.
Yep. The 5-year time jump, and actually keeping the consequences of that at the end of the movie instead of going back and resetting everything. That will be interesting and really opens up some potential paradoxes and possible plot holes in the future that it'll be hard to work around, I think. But there's definitely some weird jankiness going on with the time travel. It's kind of funny. It's a little bit ironic that there's a moment where Scott says that, are you telling me Back to the Future is BS? When the movie, this movie operates quite heavily on Back to the Future rules. It's like
irony.
Or coincidence, I'm not sure which, but it's like so Back to the Future is like kind of the template for this movie, or Doctor Who, really. So it'll be interesting to see how, like, okay, why is how is Spider-Man still in high school, and why is everybody also still in high school? Did they all get snapped? His entire high school?
Well, I mean, the students have been snapped, so they haven't aged. So, yeah, they come back, they have to
Maybe, but you'd think, like, in the intervening 5 years is that school might have still been used. So what do they do when all those kids come back? They, like, double up on kids and make the problem of overcrowded classrooms even worse? Am I thinking too hard on this, Ian? Is this too much?
I see, this is why I say Infinity War might be the better structured movie, because I think the minute you start to dissect the time travel aspect, things get real messy real fast.
Real fast, yes they do.
One of the things Aaliyah and I were kind of debating after the film was, she said, well, why not just go back in time to just before the second snap, steal the gauntlet then, and undo the snap? It's like, well, the whole principle is that if you go back and you change something, the timeline diverges from that point on.
Yeah.
They would have to, you know, take the gauntlet back to their own time, but that still causes a change and events, they'd have to bring it back to Thanos and give it back to him, and that ain't going to work. But, you said, this seems to create a stable time loop with Agent Carter, so Steve going back and marrying Peggy and then aging up to the passing of the torch to Sam suggests that he did alter the past, which doesn't jive with what they said, and Kyle, this no.
Yeah. Well, I will say that passing the torch off to Sam, brilliant. I'm glad.
I was wondering if they would even address it or if that would be part of the TV series or what, but
I did like that. Yeah. I'm looking forward to more Sam. So, and I know there's going to be the Sam and Bucky TV show, the Disney Plus show. So that's going to be good.
Am I wrong, or did they say they were working on a Black Widow?
They are working on a Black Widow movie. So far as I've heard, it is a prequel. And I would
it's going to have to be.
And I it probably will have to be. And I have to say that the bigger sticking point for me is Nat's death. I don't know how to feel about it.
I feel like they at least earned the moment.
Sure.
It was kind of cartoony getting up to that point, but at the same time, if you've got two ninja level uber assassins fighting over which one of them gets to self-sacrifice,
yeah,
it's not going to go easily. And I could have sworn that she was in the same pose as Gamora was in the last film.
I think so. Very similar, at least.
So, I mean, it's not quite fridging Nat, but it kind of walks that line, and I'm kind of unsure myself.
And then there's, there was the vision that Thanos had of younger Gamora in Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means, but it could be something related to Nat. I don't know. It might be possible to bring her back in some fashion. The gauntlet obviously couldn't do it because Bruce says he tried. Didn't work. But, you know, I don't know. It's one of those moments where I'm just like, oh, that's a moment that hurts. So that's, yeah. But at the same time, I do kind of appreciate that they did keep all of the deaths that had happened that weren't related to the snap.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone who died outside of the snap is still dead. I kind of appreciate that. At least that means there were consequences to what happened.
Aside from Gamora, but you had to kind of do some backflips to bring her back.
Well, the time travel-ish aspect of it, of her coming back, but she's not really back. I mean,
right? It's not the same.
It's not the same. No, it's not her technically. It's her, but it's her in an earlier timeline.
I do like that we had that moment where, you know, she kind of saved Nebula's soul through the course of the films, and then here in Infinity War, Nebula kind of gets to return the favor.
Right.
That was a nice bit.
Here's the biggest paradox, though. The biggest issue that I keep coming back to, that we're not 100% sure what Tony did when he snapped. Are we? We don't know if he actually killed Thanos and his army.
I'm assuming they got dusted. It looked like the same effect.
But, well, it could be that's the effect the gauntlet has regardless. Because the issue is that if Tony dusted 2014 Thanos, that means the first snap never happened, which means Infinity War never happened, which means this movie never happened, and the 5-year time gap didn't happen. So...
Well, this is where the whole divergent timeline thing comes in. So, because it's post 5 years, so the snap happened, they killed Infinity War Thanos.
Yeah.
Sequel Thanos came forward in time and got snapped. So, going by the rules that the movie implies, we should be Thanos-less now.
Maybe.
It
could be that Tony just snapped him back to his place in 2014 before everything.
Maybe. But if we go with what I'm suggesting, that stable time loop with Steve throws a wrench into things.
Right. Yeah. Time travel.
We may just have to smile and nod, you know?
Time travel. It's hard. Time travel is hard. And if they're operating on Back to the Future rules where they're creating divergent timelines with alternate universes in them, then who knows? Maybe that could be something fun to play around with in future movies. But yeah, it's hard to think about.
Now with the Fox acquisition, I'm kind of hoping that our next big event, assuming they'll follow a similar formula, because heaven knows it's worked well this long, only thing I can think of would be Thanos. Galactus.
Galactus, yeah.
Because, now, I'm not super well-versed in Cosmic Marvel, but it seems like the only thing that could top Thanos in terms of we need everybody is Galactus. Because Kang's not on Thanos' level. Doctor Doom is not on Thanos' level. And, oh boy, I'm sure I'm opening myself up to some angry emails on that one. They already dealt with Dormammu. So that's all I can really peg, you know?
Yeah. At the same time, I would be kind of happy if they did a little few more, like, you know, smaller standalone things or, like, just smaller arcs between certain movies, but not necessarily between all of them for a little while, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of, we had this giant, giant world-changing arc that runs for 23 movies, essentially. And I feel like maybe if we just have a couple more standalone things that don't really necessarily have to tie into a larger plot for a little while, that would be okay, too. And I don't know if that's kind of maybe what they're going to be going for from now on, because they have not announced any future plans other than Spider-Man Far From Home. They haven't announced any other movies officially. They have.
I thought they confirmed Strange 2 and, well, we got Doctor Strange 2, we've got Black Panther 2, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yeah.
They're working on Shang-Chi, Master Kung Fu.
We know movies are happening, but they haven't been, like, officially announced and everything. So I don't know. And they have not, like, set out a phase plan for multiple years or for a decade or whatever like they did before. So
they've got to have something like that behind closed doors. This thing has been nothing but a money printer for them.
Yeah.
So I imagine phase four is pretty well figured out. We just don't know it yet.
True. At the same time, though, I would be kind of okay with, you know, exploring more of street level, more of the street level stuff for a little bit. You know, we don't have to get so cosmic.
Well, yeah, the
cosmic is fun, but, you know.
I mean, let's look at everything leading up to the original Avengers. Those were self-contained, and there were threads you could weave towards Avengers and towards, ultimately, Endgame, but they were all pretty much their own films, kind of building the brand.
Right.
Now that they've more or less retired the big three, I would imagine that they would be going about it in a similar fashion, as rebuilding the brand of, here are the key pillar characters that you want to see work together.
Right.
Here's Avengers, what are we up to, 5? And, you know, maybe that will be the launching point for whatever the next big thing is.
Yeah. Well, they're planning on using Carol as a linchpin, which is good. I'm okay with that. So it could be interesting to see how that plays out.
You know, Avengers 5 does whatever it does, and then the after credits scene is Carol bumming it through space and bumps into Silver Surfer. You know, something like that.
Right.
We'll see.
Oh boy, here's the Herald. Oh boy! The Herald of Galactus is arriving.
Excuse me, Miss Danvers, can you point me to that tasty little planet Earth? Sure, it's that way. Isn't that the galactic center? Oh, no, Earth's right in the middle. You go right there, buddy.
Have fun over there, Norrin. Don't get too red. Oh, boy. Yeah, so that could be interesting. I had heard that they're not necessarily planning on bringing in X-Men and the Fantastic Four immediately, which probably is a good
thing. Right. I mean,
let them simmer for a little while. Let them chill, and then bring them in. Fantastic Four, especially, would be. I think they would. If we're gonna go the Galactus route, we do have to have the Fantastic Four eventually.
Sure,
but we don't need them right now. And then X-Men have always kind of been a little separated from the larger universe, so I think actually having them be in their own separate universe for so long has been kind of a good thing in a way.
Sure, sure, sure.
But, you know, it still would be nice to see some X-Men characters crossing over and, you know, have them there for the big epic fights. But
I mean, I'm not going to lie. The only thing that would have made me go from fist pumping to actually vomiting with would have been if Cap got the hammer and he and Hugh Jackman Wolverine went to town on Thanos.
Yeah.
But at this point, we're just asking for extra cherries on top of the cherries.
Yeah, know? if one of those portals opened up, if Wong was like, oh yeah, I found some alternate universe help too. And here comes Wolverine flying out of a portal right at Thanos' head with his claws. Like, would have been like, I probably would have had to get up out of my seat and just run out of the theater and just scream. Oh, man.
Yeah, I guess in summation, it's not the most airtight of narratives, but boy, does it feel good.
Yeah, it's really a very, very, very satisfying movie, but it's like loaded with fan service, but it works really well.
In the best possible
In the best possible ways, yes. It works really well, so... Yeah, it's a great way to kind of cap off this last decade of movies and kind of, you know, move forward from there, you know? No post-credit scene? That's also kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
Because they're like,
yeah. Very much appreciated because I had to leave the theater.
Because they're like, yeah, nothing. There's nothing else. This is it. This is Endgame. Nothing to go tease any further, really. So I appreciate that, even though I did stick around to the end. Still, and we just got, you know what's at the end, right, Ian?
No, we had to skedaddle.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I was wondering if you had read what's at the end.
Looked up is to see if there was a end credit scene. There was not, so we just booked it.
No, the only thing that happens at the end is the Marvel Studios logo comes up, and you hear repeated clanging in the background, like very similar, if not the same sound effect that was used in the first Iron Man when Tony's building Mark One. He's hammering out Mark One. So that's what we believe it is that, but I don't know what it is exactly. So, but most likely it's just that hammering sound.
Yeah.
So a good way to bring things full circle.
Now, if you were listening to this and you didn't care for spoilers and you haven't seen it yet, it is definitely one of those films to see in theater just because the final battle sequence is something to see on a big screen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great movie anyway, but the spectacle of all that stuff coming together. If you're on the fence about it, do I really want to fight the crowds? I've already read up on everything. Yeah, go see it. Go see it. It's worth seeing.
Yes. All right, Ian, are we done with spoilers?
We are. I'm going to hop over to the chat and let patrons know they can come back in.
Actually, I already done that.
Well, then we can move on to an ad for today's show.
Indeed.
This one comes from our good patron, Daniel H. He says, our one and only Kyle Krause has a pet in the family that needs some help. Finn, the border collie. Finn had a rough start, but made a remarkable rove from an abused life to a loving member of the Porter family. Unfortunately, while his fight is over and he's received the medical care he needs, the Porters are needing to raise $3,000 to cover the vet bills. Check the link provided to learn more and try to tell me that Finn isn't one of the sweetest looking pups you've ever seen. Thank you kindly. That's www.gofundme.com/fightforfinnampfamily. That's fight-4-finn-amp-family. And the link is in the description.
Yes, I really have to say thank you to Daniel because we got this in an email from him. I didn't put him up to this at all. I didn't mention anything about it. I didn't even know it was happening until after we recorded the last episode. But I retweeted it and put it out there. And Daniel then emailed like a couple hours later saying, hey, you should put in your next show. Thank you, Daniel. I appreciate that. And so my family, you know, went through last March was a bit of a rough time. My mom's still recovering from cancer. Actually, not essentially. She is recovering from cancer. And it was just a really bad time for our awesome border collie, Finn. And so he had to go through, he had to go through surgery, essentially, to remove some stones in his bladder because he was having trouble, you know, doing his business. So, but he's doing okay now. He's recovering and he's doing well. It's just a matter of paying for it. So if you have any sort of ability to help, even just as little as a dollar, it would help very much. So go check it out. And thank you. Thanks, Daniel. And thank you, everybody. All right, Ian, we ready to move on to Q&A?
Let's move on to the Q&A. As a reminder, because I've had some correspondence from a few folks, the way that you get your question answered on this show is to email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com or on Twitter, tweet to us at bumblecast or comment in one of the videos. Or if you're a patron, just comment anywhere on the Patreon page. We will find it. It will be added to the list of questions that we get to, and we eventually answer them on the show. If you want your question answered very soon, then you can pay your way to the front of the line by either becoming a $5 patron, or you can donate $5 through Ko-Fi, Coffee, however you pronounce it. I flub this every time. Let's keep it consistent. Just make sure to note that you are doing this for the Patreon perk, for the incentive.
Right. All right, let's go ahead and get into the Q&A action, starting with our priority Q&A with none other than special guest Scruffy Matt. He says, "Hey there, guys. I have a question for you. I know, shocking, isn't it?"
Scruffy asks questions? What?
I know, it's weird. He really gets he gets the most out of his patronage. There have been persistent rumors for a few years now that Rocksteady has been working on a new Batman Arkham game, but so far we haven't heard anything official. Would you like to see them do a new Arkham game, or prefer to see something else from them instead? Another superhero, perhaps? In either case, what would you like to see in such a game?
Okay. We can both weigh in this, I'm sure. But I'm gonna go first.
You have a lot more experience with the Arkham games than I do.
Have you played them?
I have played a little bit of the first one.
Okay. It's I thought you played a little bit of the other one, too.
No, it's just in terms of like just getting into I just got to get into it, you know? I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know. You already streamed Asylum, though, right?
I streamed Arkham City. No,
I think you did Asylum. I think you did the first one.
Did I do the first one?
I think so. Yeah.
I know I did the third. I did some of the third one.
So it feels a little redundant if I stream Arkham Asylum.
I'm pretty sure I haven't done Asylum, and if I had, it would have been at the very beginning.
Oh, Scruffy says you streamed Arkham Knight partially. Okay.
There we go. See, Scruffy, this is why we have... Yeah. Yeah, I did Knight, which is the third game.
Okay.
Asylum, I think, is...
The first.
Exclusive. Well, they had their HD remake on some of the current gen consoles, so... Anyway...
I have it on PC. It's not a big
deal. Oh, there you go. The series as a whole is very good.
Yes.
Big fan of it. Not as big a fan of Knight because I feel like they shot for the stars and wound up in the gravity well of a black hole and it didn't quite work out. What's good is good. I feel like they kind of overthought their formula. But the first one is really good. It just has some lousy boss fights. The second game is perfect. I will fight you in the street with a broken beer bottle over that. The third one has its moments. It's just not my favorite. Two rumors I had heard long ago. Three rumors. There are three rumors from the Spanish Inquisition. First one is that it was going to be a Batman Beyond styled Arkham game.
Yes.
And I would be all over that just for the sheer verticality of it. If we had Terry McGinnis, if we had the super sci-fi latex suit, if we had the flying UFO car, all of that would be pretty damn spiffy. I'd be on board for that. I just worry it would be so big of a game, it would suffer from the same thing Arkham Knight did. Yeah. I heard that it would be basically the Arkham Knight formula, but with the Ninja Turtles, and that would be freaking amazing. Like, just imagine navigating the sewers, popping up on street level, then going to the rooftops and going around the city. I would be all for that. I don't know how you would be able to manage all four turtles equally in that regard without the game becoming just monstrous. but we haven't heard anything from them for a while, so maybe that would be it. That would be freaking cool.
That would be the best Turtles game since Turtles in Time, probably.
Most likely. And then the third one I heard was that it was the same team, they were just going to tackle Superman.
That could be interesting.
No regard to whether or not it would actually be an Arkham-style game, because that really wouldn't suit Superman, but it would just be that team doing a Superman game, and since there hasn't ever been a good Superman game, and they have a sterling record, pretty much, I would love to see what they could do with Superman.
Yeah.
Now, there was a Superman game years ago, I forget which one it was exactly, but I thought it was interesting. Their take on it was that Superman himself was invulnerable, right? He was Superman. The health bar was for Metropolis. So your objective wasn't so much to keep Superman alive like you would in any other game, but it was to keep the city safe, which in principle, I think is kind of a neat idea. From my understanding, the execution was garbage, but I think the core idea is worth looking into a second time.
Was that Superman 64? It might be.
No. Superman 64 was Kryptonite fog and shadow people and...
No, I know, but... There was another Superman.
I want to say it was 2006 based on the,
based on Superman Returns?
Yeah, I think so.
The movie? Yeah, I don't know.
The kind of game where Superman can free fly anywhere, but he can't step over an ankle high fence. So if you want to get past that very, very tiny wall, you have to do the full lift off, fly, land again. Yeah, no.
Yeah. All right, well, my answer for this, I think, is I don't really have one. I should play more of the Arkham games. That's my answer. Maybe I will stream Arkham Asylum, since you did not.
So, oh, do it. It's fantastic.
Okay. I liked what I played. I just didn't play very much of it because I got distracted. That happens a lot.
It's not a terribly long game, I think.
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think it's like maybe 15, 20 hours.
I think the longevity comes from you trying to be like perfect stealthy ninja Batman when you could be a little more proactive.
Yeah. This next question comes from good old Connell T. In the Mega Man comics, there was this anti-robot terrorist group, which is around during both the classic era and the X series. If the series continued, does that mean we would have seen other human antagonists? I can talk, I swear. Like Theo and Simone? Plus, would Dr. Vale from the Zero series been a part of it? Seems like the kind of guy who would have wanted to one-up the Reploid.
That is an interesting question. I honestly don't know. The Emerald Spears were kind of an experiment in classic Mega Man to vary things up so it wasn't just Dr. Wily over and over again. And I gotta be honest here, I don't know if they really worked. I never really got a chance to investigate Theo and Simone as much as I wanted to before they had already felt kind of redundant and baggage characters. And Xander had already gotten to his role as Mr. X by the time the series was put on hold. So his character arc was already going to go in a different direction away from the Spears. Them showing up during the X era was more of a convenient bridging device between the two timelines. And the way I was kind of thinking of it at the time was that the X era Emerald Spears were not so much a organization as kind of a fringe, almost cult, not really a danger to anyone, more just to themselves. But they weren't ever really intended to be a major threat during the X era. How that would have affected things that Sigma took over could have been an interesting thing. Beyond that, I'd have to really delve in and research my Zero series more before I could comfortably say, oh, sure, I could put them in this way. And then once you get to Legends, everything is, you know, universally kind of robot-human hybrid anyway, so the Emerald Spears kind of wouldn't have a point.
Right.
But no, that's an interesting question, and I like that question, and I would love for the series to come back so I could seriously think about that.
And this one comes from Aaron. I used to talk to George R.R. Martin, asking him about character development. He said the best way to develop a character is by taking away what means most to them. To the main point to Flynn, I guess he's asking, would you ever break Sonic's leg or legs in a way for him to rediscover himself? I guess this is kind of like, this is the Thor.
No, I think I get where they're coming from. First off, stop talking to Martin. Leave him alone so we can finish the bloody book. All right. No more distractions. Lock him in a cell. Give him a typewriter. Get me my book. I think the broader scope of the question is, would I do something to Sonic to take away something he desires to motivate his character? I don't think breaking his legs is necessary because I get it. You take away his speed. That's kind of his signature thing. Yeah. But I think what Martin is saying is more generally thematic, although it can be very direct as well. Like, you can take Sonic's speed away, you can take away his freedom, you can take away the friends that he cares about, that sort of thing, without having to be, you know, graphic dismemberment or maiming or whatever, because Sega would never let that happen. And the answer to that is I already have. Like, during the Volume 1 era, we slowly built back the Sonic and Sally relationship, first to friendship, and then to romance, and then after, gosh, dozens and dozens of issues, they were finally going to hook back up together, and then boom, she's a killer robot. And that's taking that thing away. Sonic had that stable lifetime love returned to him, and then we took it away, which prompted the story arc that followed.
Right.
You know, we had Sonic's close circle of friends, the Freedom Fighters, this cohesive unit that had been through thick and thin, and Bunny's de-roboticized, Sally's a robot, Antoine's on the brink of death. You know, everything is an upheaval. Sonic's sense of family and support was gone, motivating him to start up the Team Freedom, Team Fighters, go out and bring Sally. You know, that's taking the thing that they want most away, and that motivated him to go forward. With regards to the IDW book, we're kind of approaching that with the Metal Virus saga. I don't want to put too fine a point on it yet, because that story arc is still very, very young. But I think as the year goes on, and as you're reading it, keep that mentality in mind. You know, what are we taking away from Sonic through the course of the storyline, and how is it motivating his actions? And I think you'll see some of that come into play there.
All right. Well, with that, let's go ahead and get into the standard Q&A. First question comes from AAMR9. Just a question for you about Whisper the Wolf. Does she have a backstory in the works regarding her past experiences with Eggman and her disdain of Shadow, or is that being left up to fan interpretation?
All I'm going to say is you really, really, really want to read the Tangle and Whisper crossover. Mini event. Mini series. Let's try that again.
It's an Take event. Two. It's an event. I mean, it's a series, I know. But, you know, in the grand scheme of the definition of event, it's an event.
I really appreciate you trying to polish that turd I just put out there.
Yeah, well, you can polish turds. Just ask Mythbusters. It's doable. Go ahead.
Nope, that's it. That's all I'm going to say before I get myself in trouble.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought you were going to do that again, because you said you were going to, but...
Okay. Nah, you already went to all the trouble to make it sound better.
Okay, good. I tried. All right. Next question comes from Clay A. Will we see any mainline, not miniseries, or one-offs issues in IDW Sonic series that focus on only Sonic or other characters that are not Sonic to spice it up? It's always Sonic with one or more people, and I feel the formula is starting to run...
I don't know about the formula running a little dry, because that's basically what the book has been since I've been writing it for the past 12-something years. But if you're looking for, like, a character-focused Sonic-only story, no, can't see that happening anytime soon. If you're looking for a story that's, like, focusing primarily on the extended cast doing something, I see that as possibly more likely as kind of a special one-off, but not in season two. The book is still very, very young, so the focus is, you know, Sonic and I'm trying to showcase the extended cast as best I can in a way that allows Sonic to bounce off one or two characters, then pull the end game event and throw everybody into a scene for something big. We did that at the end of season one, where everybody got together to fight Neo Metal Sonic. But for season two, it's going to be focusing mostly on Sonic and his interactions with certain characters as the Metal Virus saga escalates.
Alrighty. Next question comes from James M. Ian, before the end of Archie Sonic, what were your long-term plans for Honey the Cat?
Didn't really have any. She was going to be more of the occasional cameo character. Not cameo, that's too small. Guest spot character. You know, show up, have a fun adventure or two, and then go about her merry way. She wouldn't become a regular, like, freedom fighter or anything, and I didn't have much of a character arc for her planned, in part because I wasn't even sure if we could use her when we tried to.
Yeah.
So the fact that she was used at all was kind of fun. Had that storyline continued, I'm sure I would have thought of something, but there wasn't anything immediately planned for her in a long term.
All right, and our next question comes from Brody M. How would you feel if the Archie and IDW characters from the Sonic the Hedgehog comics were introduced into the games?
If the IDW characters got in, I would be elated. A little vindicated, too, since Tangle was specifically designed as a game character in my mind. All of them are to some degree or another, but Tangle especially, yeah. I thought of as game character first. The character that you will, if you've read Tangle Whisper Zero, you've already met Jewel. If not, you will soon, if you read that or the annual. So, I guess minor spoilers, but not to get too deep into it, because minor spoilers, but even when designing Jewel, she was, in my mind, something to facilitate Tangle in a game fashion, then translate it back into comic form. If any of the Archie Sonic stuff got in, I would be flabbergasted, because of various reasons that I probably shouldn't get into. I would be happy, sure, but very surprised.
All right. And we've got one last question. This one comes from iMagoo04.
Magoo, you did it again.
They say, how do I become Sonic Freedom Fighters?
Run that one by me again.
How do I become Sonic Freedom Fighters?
Well, Magoo, if you would like to be part of the Freedom Fighters, you can always create your own character and write your own stories in which your character goes on adventures with the team. If you want to see more adventures of Sonic and those characters, you're free to create your own fan stuff. If you want to see them in an official capacity, you can write into IDW and ask for them to show up in the book. You would be in good company. There are a lot of people who want the Freedom Fighters back, and the more, you know, hard evidence IDW has for that, letters and emails and tweets and whatnot, civil, mind you, civil and supportive, that gives them more basis to say to Sega, hey, look, these characters have been requested for years now. God, it's already been over a year since the book started.
Yeah.
People really want these characters back. Can we please have access to them? So I'm hoping that I answered your question. That was a question, right?
Well, Ian,
and
I have
qualifier for a question.
Ian, I have a follow-up for you from my own self. And actually, okay. This one comes courtesy of Scruffy Matt. Thanks, Scruffy. He says, how do I shot web?
First, just start off by pointing at me. Are you pointing at me? No, I'm pointing at someone.
All right. That's it for the Q&A. Go
web. That's going to wrap us up for the show, web or no web. Kyle, where can they find you after the show?
I'll be hanging out over on Twitter at KyleJCRB, and you can also head on over to KNGI.org where you can find archived episodes of the Mumblecast, as well as my other show, Nitro Game Injection, which you can also listen to streaming live on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time if you're interested in awesome video game music remixes and other cool music, be sure to check that show out. What about you, Ian? Where do people find you?
You can find me at IanFlynnBKC on Twitter or my website, bumbleking.com, that has all news relevant to me, a calendar showing when my latest work is coming out, my con schedule. As a reminder, I will be at Anime North towards the end of May, which is going to come up really fast. That's terrifying. Eek. As well as links to all sorts of stuff, including, my gosh, the Bumble Store.
The Bumble Store? You mean shop.spreadshirt.com/bumblestore?
Exactly. A store where you can get all sorts of Bumblecast-related paraphernalia. You can get mugs. You can get shirts. You can get hats. You can get, I think, decals, phone cases, whatever you want. With the Bumblecast logo, with my face, with Kyle's face, with both our faces. Whatever you want, it supports the show.
It's a little weird. You can slap my face on the things, but hey, have fun with that. Have a good
time.
It's
a weird timeline we live in.
It is. It really is. Which timeline is it? Is it the one with the snap or without? I guess we'll find out.
Well, there's both of us here, so I'm going to say without.
Okay, darn. I mean, that's good. All right. Don't forget to also check out Patreon-exclusive Bumblecast Gaming live streams on Sundays at around 10 p.m. Eastern time, roughly. You know, that's usually when I end up doing it. But the schedule's a little fluid. We'll let you know. Keep your eyes peeled on at Bumblecast on Twitter. And, of course, there's also the Twitch streams, which I did one actually very recently, twitch.tv/BumblecastGaming. I did one very recently of the recently revived City of Heroes, so just in time for Endgame to wrap up, City of Heroes comes back. It's like, oh, okay, cool, good timing. I am down to head back into this world and create my own awesome superheroes again and have them do all sorts of cool stuff to bad guys who are mean and need to die or be arrested, whatever they call death in the game.
And a big shout out now to all the patrons who make this show possible. Daniel H., Eric F., Connell T., Alex E., Scruffy Matt, Saturn Flaky, Duas Diz Din, Chris A., John B., Jennifer R., David C., Reverend Light, Lisa M., Dave M., David B., Mike M., Samuel P., Sam Cyberhead, Digama F., Wow, Dragon Superfan, AE Double, Brody M., Neil H., Justin G., Dan M. S., Adam T., Silly String, Takaro Lee H. K., Chevelle Dunn B., Sin Fritz, Huckle Elgato Comics, John M., James K., Adam B. T., Overthinking Films, and Ron.
All right. Thank you, Ron, and everybody else. All of you equally. It's just fun to say Ron. Ron is a very fun name.
It's a good one to end on. If it you is. Join and you somehow have a name that goes after Ron's, make sure that you sound good like Ron.
Yes. That's going to do it for this edition of the Bumblecast. Bumblecast number 90, Ian. Holy crap, we've been doing this for a long time.
We have.
And we're coming up on number 100 here in a couple months. So, ooh, boy.
Goodness gracious.
It'll be interesting. I don't know what we'll do for it. Probably a giant Q&A.
Yeah, probably. All right, we'll see you in a couple weeks for the next Bumblecast. Until then, take it easy.
Bye!
I was trying to snap my fingers, and I think I cracked my knuckles instead.
I heard you snap, and then I snapped. So I don't know if I undid your snap or if I doubled your snap.
I think your snap was better, so.
That's okay. It's fine. I snapped earlier, too, so it's okay. I don't
know. Well, like I said, you're my snappy co-host, so there you go.
You've been listening to The Bumblecast, a co-production of Bumble King Comics and the KNGI Network. Original theme music composed by Ken Coda Snyder. Remixed intro by T-Lopes. Find out more information, along with podcast feeder links, MP3 downloads, and more at bumbleking.com and kngi.org.
I had 2 hours before the show, Kyle, so I was just going to run out and do some quick errands, you know, put some gas in the car, grab a couple quick groceries for the evening.
Uh-huh.
There was one functioning elevator, Kyle, out of four in the building. One.
So one elevator. So you had to stand in line for the elevator?
Yes.
Wow. Holy crap.
And then it was a line to get to gas, and then it was a line to get to food, and then the guy checking out knew the cashier, and oh, they had to talk, and all I wanted to do was buy some chicken, Kyle! Just some bloody chicken!